Well, as you can tell by the text up here, we're taking a little bit of a sidetrack from where we've been in the book of James. And there's a couple things that have occasioned that, not the least of which is our annual business meeting, which is about to come up. And one of the things that we've been doing behind the scenes in trying to do a better job in terms of leadership here at ECF is to communicate better on a broader perspective. Matter of fact, we've put together a communications team so that we can get the word out about various things and make sure that we've got everybody plugged in the way that we ought to be plugged in. There's a lot there that needs to happen, and sometimes things happen behind the scenes and you know too late and all of that sort of a thing. So we're wanting to do that. But with that has come up that this year is going to be an unusual year for us as we come together for our annual business meeting. And Hod, when I'm done this morning, is going to come up and has put together a great statement that works for the board and the elders in a way of expressing kind of how we want to try and shape thinking for the future, where we need to be. ECF's been through a lot of change in the last couple of years. Exciting change, good change. And we want to keep that momentum and keep things moving in a certain direction. And in the process, it bids us to think again about whether or not we simply attend ECF or whether ECF is the means through which we minister and reach out to the community and to other places. How we take that as individuals here as a part of this church. And so I wanted to take a few moments this morning. I'm not going to take very long to run through these 10 verses in Philippians to build kind of a foundation for us in terms of what it means to partner together as we ought as a church. I don't know about you, but it is easy, I think, for me when I don't have a position of responsibility or whatever to just kind of attend. And we want to move beyond that. Because the kingdom of God must be advanced. And it's not advanced only. Right now we're in the book of James and we're dealing with personal sanctification. How does Christ's kingdom advance in me? How do I grow in His likeness more and more? But then the kingdom advances by various Christians, by all of us as Christians, being built together, edifying one another, being built up in the most holy faith so that we grow into this holy assembly that Peter talks about. And then there is, of course, the necessary aspect of gathering in new stones of evangelism. And that all three of those have to be working together in our lives, both personally and corporately. And so we want to make sure that we're all on that same page and at the same time understand what some of that may require from us as the days go ahead. So let's start back here. The end of Philippians. Philippians is Paul's tenderest book, in my estimation. He has the sweetest way of communicating with these people because of the relationship that he's built with them over time. And as he comes down to this last section, he talks specifically about how they had contributed to the ministry where he was now, especially as he had moved on to other places. And so he says here in verse 10, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. And you were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity." The lack of opportunity for them to contribute was not a cause for negative comment. Now, you know, we are not an assembly that spends time talking about money. We don't take up an offering. We have an offering box in the back, and if you can give, you give. And this is not going to signal any kind of a change in that philosophy or that approach. So as we talk about where we are right now as an assembly and what that might look like for the future, this is not some squirrely attempt to squeeze your wallet. This is to put things in biblical perspective so that we are working together and moving toward that. So lack of opportunity was not a cause of negative commitment and comment. And that is not true here either. All of us have been going through some rough financial times, and that is not a negative comment at all. It is reality. We want to make sure we talk that way. One of the things that can happen in a church over time is that something flips upside down. And instead of the church trying to meet the spiritual needs of the people within it, you can make the church a machine, and now the people exist to try and feed the machine. And we want to be very careful that that never happens here. That's not what we're about. What we want to do is see the kingdom advanced. But we also need to talk about the necessities and the realities that go along with that. Secondly, in the next verse we read, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatsoever situation I am to be content." So as Hod comes and reads the letter that he's going to in a moment, we want to take exactly this same attitude. This is not leadership saying, "Hey, we're in need. We understand that the church will go up and it will go down and it will go through seasons. We're going to come back to that in a minute. And that's just part of life. But we also want to talk about that openly and be able to communicate about that in a proper way." Paul's need is not the driving concept, and neither is ours. We have no immediate need as a congregation. You need to know that. Yes, we're looking forward to building. We want to reach the town of Penfield. And we can maybe call that our need, how we rally around that, what kind of shape that begins to take for us in the coming years. But there is no immediate need right here. So you can relax and you don't have to worry. I'm not going to take up an offering when this is over. That's not what this is about. This is about discussing, again, where we are and how we have a biblical mindset on what we do as we approach the future. The next verse, verse 12. "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." It's interesting that it's in that context that Paul's going to go on to say next that that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Maybe you've heard that verse utilized in some very strange ways in our day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can buy a new car through Christ who strengthens me. I can tackle this new business venture through Christ who strengthens me. That isn't his idea here. His idea here is that I can learn to go with the seasons that change in my life and in ministry. And I can learn to be content in all of those seasons. It's a miraculous way of living. And it has to be the mindset for us as a congregation. We'll have seasons of plenty and we'll have seasons of need. But we can be content in those seasons. And so nobody gets out the baseball bat and starts squeezing everybody like trying to get blood out of a stone. That's not the way we think. It's not the way we pray. It's not the way that we understand the kingdom of heaven works. And it's certainly not the way that we want to go here. We recognize that there are seasons and things change during those seasons. In the winter, which is not my season, unless I'm in Southern California or Florida, in that case, winter's a fine season. But in that season, I've had to learn how to be content in that season too, even here. I don't know, my wife has gotten around to it. By the way, I wanted to thank you all for praying for me after my little motorcycle accident last week. What we didn't tell you is that when Skye bought me a motorcycle, she bought me a 30-year-old motorcycle. And I think the idea there was, he'll die quicker. So that's just so you keep that in mind. You know, this was the way that works. The next verse, verse 13. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Each season brings an opportunity to learn how to lean upon the Lord in a new way. We are always so quick to try and change the circumstances. And as Christians, that isn't necessarily the way to go. Sometimes the circumstances not only can't change, but it would be wrong to change them. And we learn instead to lean on Christ during those times. Right now, we're going through a bit of a difficult season behind the scenes here at the church in terms of finances. That's the way it is. That's where we are. That's part of life. That's part of how God takes us through various places and does various things with us. But each of these brings a new opportunity to learn how to rest in Him. Just what we've been learning in James, that we seize upon each of these times and don't suddenly panic and run for the hills, but stop and say, wait a minute, God has appointed these things, and it's our responsibility to see to it, because of Christ's redemptive work, that we draw from that all that we possibly can to grow in His image, to refine our thinking, to pray more, to seek His face more, to become more focused, to know where we need to go with the things of God and in us as a congregation as we move ahead in the days that are before us. Verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. Can I say thank you for the way that you as a congregation are such a giving congregation in the midst of difficult times? Yes, we've seen some drop, such as life. But I know that there is sacrificial giving going on in this group. And let me commend you for how you've responded. Let me stand here as part of the leadership and say, thank you. We know that often you've risen to the occasion when personally you have suffered greatly. That's an incredible testimony. And unless we come before you every once in a while and tell you, yes, we recognize that and what's going on out here among you, we'd be pretty remiss. And maybe we haven't done that enough. But kindness is commended and not simply expected. The amazing thing about the living organism of a local church is that even though it has to have a certain amount of structure and it has to be able to move with a certain amount of machinery, nevertheless, its main thing is that it remains a living organism. And as a living organism, we never take it for granted that people come through the door here week after week and worship with us and contribute to the ministry that goes on here and hopefully help us do even more ministry in the future. But again, a lot of that is locked up to God's providence. And ultimately, when we're done here this morning, our concern is that each of you find a true place of ministry within the local assembly, and not just be an attendee, not just be one who shows up, but one who's plugged in and is using the outlets and the ways that we can work together to reach the kingdom and to make it larger. 4:15. And you Philippians yourselves know that at the beginning of the gospel, or in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Partnering in the gospel is an absolute apostolic pattern. It's what we do. Now, whether you do that in this church, and let me extend something here, because it's something that Sky and I practice, and I would hope others do too, that all of your giving isn't here. I hope you're giving to other areas in the church, not this church, but to other ministries where the kingdom could be advanced in places that we can't touch. It's one of the reasons why we have a missions program. One of the reasons why Barb Thomas was with us here this morning. I hope that you will look at those opportunities and say, yes, I want to further the work there as well, because our goal is to see the kingdom grow. And that doesn't happen just while we're here. Hopefully while we're here, you're being built up in the Word and being taught and encouraged so that you know the Scripture, but that so that that's carried out into the world. And same thing here. While we've been pleased to have you partner with us, I hope you don't partner only with us. We hope you partner outside, but that you see this as your hub. And through this hub, we already, again, extend those partnerships out into China and into the inner city of Rochester and into all sorts of places, the international students at Syracuse and on and on and on from there. And all of those things work together as we advance the kingdom together. Verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. His point there is that there was a pattern of ongoing or systematic giving, as possible, that was in place. Do you remember in 2 Corinthians when Paul tells the people at Corinth to be putting aside money so that they can contribute to the need of the church in Jerusalem, which was undergoing great financial hardship at the time, great persecution? When he does that, he says, now, when you gather on the first day of the week, you get together and give your money as God has prospered. Not some sort of a limit. There's not some sort of a line or a decimal point, but how God has prospered. And then he encourages, do that liberally. Do that openly. Do that freely, as though this material world does not have its grip on you. Matter of fact, he's going to come back and do that again in just a second. But it was clear that they had given to him once and again as he was advancing the kingdom. And this pattern of ongoing or systematic giving as possible was in place. I would encourage you to do that no matter how small it is, and whether you do that here or whether you do that anyplace else. Give to the advancing of Christ's kingdom. The old saying is true, that you've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. You can't take it with you. It's all going to be left behind. You will have giant holes in your pockets. Actually, I think robes don't have pockets. So maybe when you get a robe, you won't even have a pocket to put the wallet in. Don't be afraid to give to Christ's cause here and to do that generously. And if you think this is just a push for us locally, then give it someplace else. But advance His kingdom. Be plugged into it. See it happen. Be engaged in that and thoughtfully saying, how do I advance Christ's kingdom with the resources that He's put at my disposal? Verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Some would say, you know what? We've heard that 1,000 times. That's a ploy. I am so grateful that I can say to you with all honesty that is the absolute truth regarding every member of leadership in this church. Nobody here is seeking a gift or to get rich or to grow off of that. But what we are seeking is that in moving from, and as you know, as we're working through James, and worldliness is wrapped up in the world's goals, the world's methods, and the world's motives, that as we move away from a materialistic mindset which saturates America, that one of the places where that demonstrates itself most is investing in the kingdom. Now, I'll be very clear, and we'll come back to this in just a second, but the act of giving and partnering brings fruit to the giver as well as enabling those who receive. Let me tell you what I cannot promise you from the Word, that if you give financially, you will get back financially. That's not what this is about. This is not some sort of a Ponzi scheme. Giving to the Church of Christ is not some way so that you can get fat and happy materially. That is contrary to the mindset of Christ and the mindset of the Scripture. No, we invest in the kingdom for the spiritual rewards that become ours in knowing that we are advancing the cause of Christ and the gospel wherever we go. I will not promise you that if you give more, God will give you a better car. I will not promise you that if you give more, God will give you better clothes. And if you think that, you can go shopping with my wife sometime at S&A Boutique in Canandaigua. That's Salvation Army, by the way. We spend a lot of time there. I will not promise you that when you give, somehow your bank account will increase. It will not necessarily. It may dwindle. That's the point. We're giving for the kingdom. We want to see the gospel grow. We want to see the ministry grow. Not just this ministry, but gospel ministry wherever it's found. But certainly, we have some indication that God would have us in Penfield and that there's a people to reach and that we want to be thoughtful about how we do that and that we want to pull together so that we have an actual plan as we move toward that in the future. The act of giving and partnering brings fruit to the giver as well as enabling those who receive. I have found over time, and I learned this in my home. I learned this because of my parents. My mom, and she's going to hate me for this because she's right here in front of me, has the gift of giving. It's a rare gift. so that when she goes to the store, because it's just my dad, you know, my dad's now a frail old man. He doesn't eat much. And he's right here too. So when she goes to the store, she buys groceries for like 400 people. Yeah, my dad's nodding. Yes, yes, the first time he's been affirmed in that. She comes home with cases of stuff and bags of stuff. And every time she comes in the door, Dad says the same thing. Are we feeding an army? I heard that a lot growing up. And yes, she's been feeding that army for years, for generations. Because that stuff goes out the door to other people. She's not going to be able to put it in her coffin with her. Because that isn't where it belongs. That's what we're about. That's the mindset we want to gather here as an assembly. That if we spend ourselves poor for the cause of the kingdom, so be it. But my sneaking suspicion is that while God is not intending to make us rich monetarily, He will increase our ability to function as a pipeline. And the more we give, the more He'll give us to give, but not to hoard up. And that's where we want to go. That's how we want to see ourselves work. That's the budget we put together every year is not a budget that puts a lot of money in the bank. It's a budget that says we're going to spend what we can for the cause of the kingdom. We're going to do it as thoughtfully and as wisely as we can, but we're not saving up a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, we want to try and build a building, and we're going to try and get that done, but we're not going to make ourselves rich. That's not what this is about. Verse 18. I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Giving to the advancement of the gospel is giving to God. You know, there's a great old country western song that has a line in it that says, "You tell me to send my money to Jesus, but you give me your address." I think there's a lot of insight in that statement. There's a lot of insight to that statement. And we don't want to be party to that kind of thinking either. What we do want to do is say, how can we best manage the resources of this congregation for maximum impact for growing the kingdom? That does not mean building our galactic outreach center. I was really hoping for a galactic outreach center. These guys with, global outreach center, small beans. I'm interested in reaching Venusians and things like that. But the board has told me we can't do that. That's probably shooting a little high. What we can shoot for is Penfield. God miraculously has given us a foothold there. You know, that second piece of land came about in the most extraordinary way. Only the hand of God could have done that. There is a call somehow for us to meet that. We don't even know what that looks like yet. But not just to move there so we've got a nice church, but to move there because there's a community that needs to be reached for Christ in a powerful way. And maybe we can do that uniquely with the gifts and the things that we've got collectively as a congregation. That's where the thinking is for us. Verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, the first thought that you've got to get from that verse is that every need that I have, and let me put need capitalized in quotes, is met by Christ, not by money. So, my God will supply every need that I have according to His riches and glory, and His riches and glory are in Christ Jesus. That's the important part. The Father blesses us spiritually when we utilize what He's given to us materially. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. It's the way He does it. I know that there are dozens here who could stand up and testify to how God has done that in their own personal lives. It's been extraordinary. One of the things that God has done for us is that Sky and I looked at giving more. Not to this church, actually. Giving outside. Although we give here. Because this is our home base. This is what we support first. But we started giving in areas that we couldn't get a tax receipt in. That was one of the things that we thought about. That we wanted to give where we couldn't get a tax receipt, so that we weren't doing it in order to get the break. And that we wanted to give outside of our comfort zone, which we started to do. And you know what God did? He blessed Sky with a better paying job so we could give more, but not so we can save more. So we can give more. That's the point. Now, again, I'm not saying that has to happen here, although this is the primary place. This is the group we gather together with to do ministry with. And we want to encourage you in that direction. But we get the benefit from that when we give. We get the benefit. The other day she came home and she goes, "Reed, I spent," and she tells me this number. And after I got up from the shock, I said, "Babe, if that's going for souls, then just give." We don't discuss that with each other. If either of us feels that we want to give to someone who's in need or a cause, we have perfect freedom with each other to just give. We don't even discuss it. Because we cannot go wrong giving to Christ's kingdom. You just can't. It's just how good God is. Now, that does not mean that we're going to build a big, flashy building. Maybe we won't. Maybe we can't. Maybe that's 20 years away. What we want is a mindset, a group of people with a kingdom mindset that moves in that direction. And then lastly, verse 20. "To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our aim together is the advancement of Christ's kingdom through the glorifying of His name." We do that here. We do it together. We do it as a group. We do it independently. And by God's grace, as an assembly, as our thinking gathers around that, we'll see one another plugging in more and more personally, individually, not necessarily only with money, that's part of it, but in terms of thought and effort and prayer and ministering to each other on a one-to-one level in a whole new way that causes us to be a beacon that goes out into the community in that way. I'm going to ask Hod if he'll come, and like I said, he's prepared a statement that speaks for kind of the elders and the board together. By the way, I got to tell you that in the last couple of years, the unity between the elders and the board has been one of the most absolutely delightful realities, to have like-minded men all the way around the block saying, "What can we do to make Christ's kingdom increase?" Please.
Reed and I were collaborating on this a little bit, so I knew it was a mistake, because he's already said a lot of what we were going to share. However, this message is to you from the board, the corporate board and the elder board, and I'm hoping that it's perhaps like a message you've not heard before. Many of us have been members of congregations before, and usually when the leadership stands up to talk to you, it's not always good news. But I hope that after I'm done, you will see this as good news. Would you mind just praying with me for a moment? Heavenly Father, I pray that what we have on our hearts to share with our congregation this morning will be a blessing to them and to you. And help me to get this out in the manner and in the attitude in which it's intended. In Jesus' name, amen. We are scheduled to have our annual business meeting later this month. We felt that it would be good to lay the groundwork for that meeting by reviewing some of the things that have happened in the past 2 years, and to give the congregation a peek at some of the things we need to be prepared to make decisions about when we meet. First, let me make a few clarifying remarks. We want this to be really clear this message is intended to be an encouragement. Simply to provide some facts on which to be thinking and praying over the next few weeks. We also wanted to present this message during a morning service when there would be the potential for the greatest number of members of the congregation to be present to hear what the two boards would like to have everyone in the congregation be aware of before our business meeting at the end of the month. So let me set the stage. Close to 10 years ago, ECF made a decision to look toward the future and aim to provide land for a new facility. Over the years, the purpose of that building and the plans for that building have been discussed and have taken shape. And we actually have drawings of the construction project, which have been approved by the town of Penfield already. And under the right circumstances, we're shovel-ready, essentially. Since then, a number of things have happened. The market's declined part of this century, and again sharply in 2008 and 2009, and they still have not recovered. The boards have been patient because we don't feel we have to rush ahead and do anything. So we've not made any commitments that would burden our budget or tax our ability to still function as a church, provide for our staffing needs, or hurt the programs we want to support. Now, one major thing that we did do is address the fact that as a body, we had begun to weary of not being able to meet together as one congregation. For the past few years, we'd struggled along with two services. And so last November, we initiated a move here to the Parenton Community Center so that we could all be together in one service. Those of you who are not new with us know that over the past 2 years, so many things have happened. Almost 2 years ago, we went through a very emotional upheaval because of some differences of opinion over doctrinal issues. And yet, after we worked through that time, the body rebounded. People stepped forward and took on responsibilities. From my position as a leader, it was one of the most encouraging times I've ever experienced in a church. People who saw that there were needs for people to step in, to provide leadership and take responsibility, offered themselves to be of service. So many positions have been filled seamlessly, and we've all benefited from the changes that have taken place. So let me be one of the first to say, from the standpoint of being a leader at ECF, it was a delight to see the change in the hearts of so many in the congregation. Many of you came forward and seized responsibility for various ministries and stepped right in. Other people were encouraged to get involved and put their time and energy into various needs of the church as well. One of the points that we would like to emphasize in our message this morning is that we as a congregation have needed to do something, and it has happened. And what is that? We've recognized needs for individual involvement and for new leadership. Members of the body have initiated offering their services. Folks have committed themselves to take over responsibilities and have been a great delight to see all these things take shape and so many new faces step forward and be willing to get involved. How proud we are of our church. How encouraged and how much we want to commend all of you who have picked up the yoke voluntarily and stepped in so admirably. It is an example and an encouragement. Now, none of us is in control of our outside circumstances. Whatever the world economy, our country's economy, and our local economy are going to do, in large part, are beyond our control. And we want to specifically address the fact that our meeting this month is primarily to vote on our budget. And yet, we want it to be crystal clear that we're not in any way, shape, or form, through anything we communicate to the congregation, trying to manipulate, or encourage anyone to do things that they do not believe would be appropriate for their circumstances. We're not in any way trying to make anybody feel badly about what they may have been doing as far as their giving to the church. We trust that everyone is praying, listening intently for God's guidance, and making decisions about their financial support of the church based on their heart's felt best desires to provide for their families and to meet their commitments to the church at ECF. The next point that we would like to make and that we would like to stress to the congregation is that as a church, we're not like any other organization. When we become members, we do so because we're ready to make a declaration. We declare that we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that through Him we have received, through grace, the unmerited gift of eternal life and salvation from our sins, that we have been saved, that we believe we have been called by the Word to be part of a body. We're also declaring that we're ready to commit ourselves to that body in membership so that collectively we can carry out a work that the Lord might ask of this particular congregation to perform. The church is to reach out, to share the word, to evangelize, to minister to members within the congregation and to the community around us, to be an example to the world. We are to witness to the world not just in what we study, not just in what we believe, but by putting actions forward on our belief. We act out our belief. In that vein, we want to encourage everyone who is attending and who feels led to be a part of this ministry to commit to help move us forward. One way that you can do that is to become a member, to make a tangible, visible, real commitment to be a part of what we are doing by making a statement through your membership that you see yourself, in fact, as part of this body, willing to embrace, support, promote, and become involved in what our body is called to do. Part of your support of the work of the church is demonstrated in your giving, as we are encouraged to do, as we are expected to do, as the Bible calls us to. We live in a New Testament era. We are not living and giving under the tithe. What we give is supposed to be a free will offering. You all should know this is not a church that encourages people to step out on false claims for something that God has not promised to us. All we ask is that every person who sees themselves as a part of this family would be willing to identify themselves as part of this family by becoming a member, and then that they would support the work of this church to the best of their ability. And we do not mean just monetarily, but by getting involved. Now, what does that mean? For me personally, it means that the church is like a body. There are eyes and ears and mouths, arms and hands, legs and feet. And as a church body, we need members who are willing to find their place in the body to help the church function as a single entity that will be able to perform like a healthy body. This body needs people who will walk around and talk to people. This body needs people who will lend a hand when somebody needs help. We need members in this body who will keep their eyes open for the people who are hurt or need someone to listen to them, to speak encouragement to them, to pray with them, to pray for them. We need people to preach, to teach classes. It is so clear that we're not all called to be the whole body, but just a part. We're not all called to be everything. Some of us are so very comfortable and function so wonderfully in a particular area that is a gift. And we respect that and we encourage that. We would like to see everyone in this body get involved until they find that work within the church they feel called to perform. And this is another point we want to make. The work of this church cannot be accomplished by a very small handful of people. And what we have seen in the last year and a half has been an enormous shift. There have been many people who have perhaps not been involved much before suddenly stepping forward and offering to be involved. It has been such an encouragement to all of us in leadership, and we want to encourage all of you to make every attempt to get involved yourself. Pastor Reed and all of the elders are available if you need to talk about the things that maybe you've been feeling or you were being called to get involved in. There are so many ministries going on. There are young people going out on Friday nights witnessing in the community. They're doing this in a non-threatening way. They are in neighborhoods being non-confrontational. They're going out and simply trying to talk to people and tell them about Christ. They're not there to criticize them. They're not there to condemn them. They are simply there to answer questions and to say, "We are here just to talk to you about the Lord." We have people who are serving in the church who are working as teachers in the Sunday school program, who are offering to help with teenagers, offer to help with the evening meal after our Sunday night classes, and after communions. All of these things require members of the congregation to get involved and to help. When we get to the congregational meeting, we will be talking about the measures we're taking because giving has declined. We want you to know that none of us is surprised that this happened. We wanted to keep you aware that we have staff. We are making every effort to keep working at the church. The staff have made this move over to PCC work so smoothly, and we have an organization that is so fully documented that we would be able to take what we do to another building probably without any problems at all. So from the standpoint of what our budget is supporting, a large portion of it is salaries for the pastor, church secretary, administrative assistant, and cleaning staff. We've tried, and you'll see when you get to our meeting and we lay out our budget recommendations, by all means possible, to maintain only those things that are absolutely necessary. Obviously, to keep the building open, we have to pay utilities, and in order that the building is safe to meet in and to rent to others, we have to maintain it. So in this past year, since about December, we have been on an austerity program where the spending that we have authorized has been only for absolute necessities: Sunday school materials, office supplies, and for our staff. We've cut everything else that we possibly can. Of course, if the circumstances warrant it, the economy and unemployment continue to be troublesome, and we feel that we need to continue to maintain our budget at this level, or if we need to cut even more to live within our income, that's what we will do. But we want you to understand that will mean a lot of the things that we wanted to do and hoped that we could do will have to wait. Now, again, this is not a message to make you feel as though we're asking you for more money. We're simply communicating that we established a budget, and based on that budget, we have hired people who are committed to provide certain services to the congregation with the assumption that we would have income from giving for our budget, allowing us to meet those obligations that we committed to. Our budget has come up short, and we detected the falling away of giving early, and we responded to it by cutting spending in an effort to stay within our income. As a result of that, we felt it to be prudent to establish the budget we will present to you later this month so that we stay within what we were able to realize this year and hope that giving would continue at that level or return to its higher levels of the past few years. And quite frankly, so you understand, there are churches all over the United States, mega churches and small churches, that are struggling financially just as much as we are. This is not an abnormality, and it's not a surprise. And we're not asking you to do anything that would harm the stability of, and safety of your own family's financial well-being. This presentation is to let you know that in spite of everything that has gone on over the last year and a half to 3 years, the economy, some of the differences we've had to work through internally, this church remains a very solid body. But what it has also become is a group of people who seem to be coming together to commit themselves to actually act on their faith. We want to encourage you to continue to do that. In fact, we would like to create opportunities for us to find more ways that we as a body could act out on our faith. God can provide for all these things in many ways. We have no way of anticipating how the Lord will provide for the needs of a congregation. If we will be obedient to do what He calls us to do, and if each one of us will do our part, God will provide. We have to be faithful to live within our means to provide those things that our provisions will allow. So we wanted you to know that we see from our perspective as leaders such a positive, encouraging difference and change that we do not want you to become discouraged by our present financial circumstances. The fact that our actions on our property seem to be moving slowly, we see as being part of everything in its season and in its good time. There is no way that a small group without different resources, even if we were to sell our land and make a ton of money and put up a huge building, that this body at this time could support that. So we are moving ahead with the understanding that if there is to be a sale of any of this land, if anything presents itself that we believe to be the right thing for us to do, it isn't so that we can rush right out and build some monumental structure so we can feel good about ourselves going to a new building. Because the building will be useless if the people in it are not working for the Lord. We wanted to encourage you that we do not see these delays in any way as a negative. We see this as proof that the Lord has everything in control. We're not getting ahead of ourselves. We're growing in ways that are more meaningful and such a blessing to those of us in leadership to watch so many people be willing to get involved, to do their part, whatever it happens to be, even if it's just picking up chairs on Sunday. We have a dozen guys running around rolling up cables and helping us put away sound equipment. We're all beginning to recognize that we are a group of people with a common purpose. It doesn't mean we all do the same job, but we're working together to accomplish the Lord's work. As we grow and learn to trust each other and to depend on each other and to work together, the Lord will show us more and more things that He may wish us to do. We wanted you to know that we have every confidence that God will show us what to do. We're very proud of how you are beginning to grow in a willingness to put your faith into action, to own a part of what this congregation is being called to do. I, for one, believe we don't have a clue about the things that we are being called to do or will be called to do. But I am beginning to be encouraged that no matter what it is, we will pull together as one body, with love for each other, supporting one another collectively, pulling together to achieve the work we are being called to perform so that we can be an example of what Christ called the church to do. Our message to you is that we as leaders are proud of you. And we want you to know that in no way do we see these financial issues as a slacking of anyone. We want you to know that we will do what is required to live within the means that we have. As the Lord provides, and as the Lord provides freedom to people to perhaps support the financial needs of the church in a greater measure, fine. We don't want any of you to feel that you have to do anything differently than what you've already been doing. We want to encourage you to try to find your own special place where you can minister or get involved in a ministry or find some way that you can help. Do not be afraid to reach out to people, to the pastor, to offer your help, to come up with ideas, to offer new ideas. It has been so exciting to watch all of the new things that have been brought to this body that others have embraced and have begun to work on. This is a different body. This is not a body that is going to come in here and be fed and just sit and be gluttons and hold it all in and come back for more. We have begun to do what the Scripture has admonished us to do, and that is, be not hearers only, but be doers. Without our works, our faith is nothing. And without our faith, our works are nothing. So it is a package. And we're excited to see that so many of you are beginning to trust and to act out and to get involved and be part of doing what needs to be done and are coming forward with ministry ideas. You're giving other people opportunities to help. It is an encouraging sight. We would ask the congregation to pray for the leaders as we deal on a day-to-day basis with our financial and structural challenges, and for each other to know how to best be a connected and contributing part of the body. And let me close this by saying, this is every true Christian church leader's dream. Having been in other congregations where one struggled at times to see the Christ in the Christian service, I am moved to tears when I see the change God has brought about among us. Thank you.
Just want to have everything out on the table. Want to be where we are together and be able to discuss those things openly. And no, it's going to be a pretty tough budget cut this year when we get there. Don't want you to be in total shock when you see some of that. We're going to work through that. But God is good, and we are excited about where things are going and what the Lord's doing. And thank you, Hod, for taking the time to make sure that was presented so well. Our time is really gone, so will you stand with me? And we're going to sing and we'll dismiss. And certainly we will get together if you want to talk and ask questions and do all that. Well, most of us will be there tonight as well. Tonight, Michelle Evans gets baptized. Please be back for communion service. Promises to be a wonderful time. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You're dismissed.